A reading from the first book of Kings. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "O Lord, my God, you have made me your servant, king to succeed my father David. But I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to distinguish right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. So God said to him, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, nor for riches, nor for the life of your enemies, but for understanding, so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now. And after you, there will come no one to equal you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have said, O Lord, that my part is to keep your words. The law of your mouth is to me more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces.
Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands.
Let your kindness comfort me, according to your promise to your servants. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands.
For I love your commands more than gold, however fine. For in all your precepts I go forward. Every false way I hate. Wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. The revelation of your words sheds light, giving understanding to the simple.
Lord, I love your commands. I love your commands.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may worthily proclaim his gospel. In the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit.
Alleluia,
amen.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Blessed are you, Father of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and goes out of joy and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We find ourselves this noon hour and this weekend in a very special place, in a very special time. It is one of those times that we might call a fullness of grace time. And we can all use a little more grace time, especially in our world and in our society, to be sure. And specifically what I'm talking about is it's the convergence, the blending of last weekend, this weekend, and this coming week together beautifully to reveal to us God's presence, God's love, and also our special place in the flow of grace and in the flow of the web of time. Specifically, what I'm talking about is last weekend, the Church Universal celebrated Grandparents and the Elderly Day. That was instituted by Pope Francis 3 years ago. This weekend, and beginning for the whole week, gathered in Portugal, is the World Youth Day, celebrated throughout the church and throughout the world, inaugurated by St. Pope John Paul II in 1985. And what a magnificent time that is. Grandparents and the elderly, World Youth Day, the old and the new, side by side. No divisions, no strife, no separation. But what we strive for always is intergenerational love, friendship, and giving and receiving, because both have treasures. Both have treasures. And we are poorer if we simply sample one treasure and overlook the other or leave the other buried, as too often is the case. The old treasure, the treasure buried in the field, is too often associated with those who were, the past, grandparents and the elderly, etc. And yet, what a sad mistake that is. Because there you have the community of memory. The community of memory. And with young people, you have the community of hope. And you need memory and hope in order to live a fully developed individual human life, family life, society, and a worldwide organization and community. You need to treasure the past, and you need to always lean forward in hope to the future. You can't play the either-or game, because if you're mired in the past, like your automobile in a Louisiana mud after it rains, you fall victim to a terminal case of nostalgia, romanticism, and sentiment. Oh, the good old days. Oh, that's when children knew how to behave. People knew how to act. They were wonderful and terrific and great things like that. Well, we realize on closer inspection that there's no such thing as a golden age. No such thing. Each age has its own challenges, its own difficulties, its own achievements, its own victories. Neither do we look forward into the future. Oh, there's where the best is yet to be, the last for which the first was made, as Robert Browning says. And so we're constantly leaning forward. We worship at the altar of the religion of progress. Tomorrow will always be better than today. You know, we may not have seen the Broadway musical, but we're all addicted to Annie, huh? The sun will come out tomorrow. That's your bottom dollar tomorrow. That's if you don't visit the casino. And things like that. The problem with both of those is that you ignore the present. You ignore the grace and the presence and the giftedness and the presence of God in the very moment. Because the present is the product, to a large extent, of the past, and the present is the seedbed, the nursery of the future. So how you care for the present is intimately connected with the community of memory and the community of hope. And that is so important for us today, to draw together that intergenerational oneness, togetherness. The elderly are keepers of the flame, keepers of the heritage. They know the family story. They know the web of time. And to let the young people today know that they are part of a larger story than themselves, that they're part of a larger story than society tells them they are, or the peer group, or the latest celebrity or athlete tells them. They know that they're in that web of time of love and commitment, which is why they are, why they exist. And at the same time, because of that, they can look forward in hope and not despair. Real belief and not a kind of desperation or a kind of struggle without any hope. We need both of those. We need that kind of blending because we are stronger together than we are alone. And we're finding out how going it alone, whether it's individually or in our own little private group, our own little race, our own little religion, our own little socioeconomic group or whatever, to the exclusion of others, we're depriving ourselves of others' gifts, others' insights. And they are deprived of us. They are deprived of us. We are stronger together. It is multiplication by addition. That's the way God's math works. And I think that Our Lady of from Our Lady of Perpetual Help is especially blessed, especially in this time of grace. You're blessed with having a wonderful grammar school. Say it again. I think you're very blessed with having a grammar school. I wish every parish in the Archdiocese that had the demographics and had the resources had an elementary school in its parish. A parish that has an elementary school is part of that story of hope, and at the same time draws on the community of memory. It feeds the parish. It nourishes the parish. It keeps the parish from being stale, from being robotic and routine, of just going through the motions. At the same time, the gift of the past, the gift of those who have that memory, are able to direct enthusiasm and creativity and excitement to productive and good ends, and not simply to chase the latest nova in the sky that flashes brightly and quickly burns out. It has staying power. The gift of an elementary school, that foundational level, it cannot be estimated in its value. To lay the foundation, no matter how tall and beautiful the building, if the foundation is no good, the building will not last. Nobody starts building on the second story or the first story. You have to have the foundation. And I had the opportunity to speak with your principal, Miss Bro. And one immediately senses a person of tremendous giftedness by God, deeply committed to Catholic education, deeply committed to the families, to the children, to the church, and to the community. And the school has grown and is growing. It is developing. Father Kyle, your pastor, and I've had conversations with him about this, is so deeply committed to the school, and to the importance of the school for the parish and for Catholic education, and especially at the elementary level where the foundation is laid. And in our gospel reading, Jesus talks about the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl of great price. They were always there waiting for someone to dig up the field and stumble across it, for someone with a sharp eye that went through the bazaar that all the other eyes had passed, all the smart guys, all the crafty merchants, and yet they overlooked that priceless pearl until this person came along and spotted it. You can't allow the elementary school to be buried. You can't allow the elementary school to be passed over. It's too precious. It's too valuable. It's too life-giving. And one of the great sociologists of the 20th century, James Coleman. Coleman was a sociologist at the University of Chicago for the National Opinion Research Center. And his specialty was the sociology of religion and the effects of religion on the well-being of a society, not only in its secular dimension, but in its spiritual dimension, and the importance of the secular and the sacred together, elevating communities and society. Now, he was no Catholic cheerleader, by the way, not by any means. But in all the research that Coleman did in the middle to late part of the 20th century, Coleman came away with the conclusion that one of the best investments a society and people can make is investment in a Catholic education. Why? I'll give you the very simple answer, non-academic. Catholic education works. The method of Catholic education cuts across race, gender, creed, socioeconomics, nationality, and so on. The Catholic method of education is the most effective method for cutting down all the barriers that can impede people from leading a fully good, human, productive life in a society. And where does it begin? It begins at the elementary level. Taking and growing what is developing in the family. And what is the reaction of those in the gospel this morning when they find the treasure hidden in the field and the pearl? They're filled with joy and they sell everything they have in order to buy that field and get that pearl. They give everything up. In other words, they were willing to sacrifice what had been in light of what may very well be. And let's make no mistake about it. Parents, grandparents, relatives, etc., sacrificed a great deal to send their children to a Catholic school. It's a sacrifice. But in the sacrifice and the struggle is the strength. And we see the effects that this has. I know parents, some work two and even two and a half jobs so that their children can go to a Catholic school. And it's not simply because of the academics. You can go to a whole bunch of places and get smart up here, neck up. It's what it teaches about developing as a whole human being, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, psychologically. And I'd like to kind of bring all this to a close, not to test your patience. But I invite you to, and I invite others, to broaden their perspective and their perception beyond the walls of those buildings back there, beyond the church boundaries of a parish, civil parish. Because school, like the one you have, is a great gift and blessing to the community of Belle Chasse as a whole. As a whole. See? It's an investment. It's an enrichment in the quality of life of the citizenry as a whole. They may never darken the door of the church. Their child may never enroll in the school. It doesn't matter. That's the way it is. It filters out. It enriches. It elevates what is. And that's one of the great blessings and callings of our faith. It's not a secret. It's not something we bury. It's something you go forth and live and share. Not force, not compel, but persuade and invite. And that's a great blessing. So, on this wonderful, wonderful weekend of grace, I pray that God will make you and invite you to be what Jesus talks about in the parable. Wise and good stewards. And who are those? those who know how to bring forth from the storeroom treasures old and ever new. Your parish, your faith community, has been blessed with both, treasures old and treasures new. Let us bring those together to the glory of God and the good of all that can be done to God's glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.